Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode is brought to you by Casper Mattresses. Love a Casper mattress.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly
Planet. Hey.
We did that during the theme song. People yep. didn't hear it, but...
What happens is James mutes the microphone.
So we can't... So there's no nonsense.
There's no nonsense. And then he plays the theme. We cuts that in so we could be doing anything.
Yeah.
So we just went, hey. And then James said, just for us. And I'm like, well, why save it for just for us? You know, why not give it to the whole world?
That's a
anyway,
good point.
You were saying something about our podcast.
Yeah, it's a podcast. We do it. We're in it. But speaking of the whole world, yes. Mason... Our charity campaign has hit the $50,000. It's above incredible.
Right now we're up to $53,416. So we've not, the listeners have not only beaten the target, they've bloody smashed the target.
And look, it's not even, I'd say there's a good chance we can get close to 60 because I haven't even put on a YouTube video. We haven't even made any of the content yet, which with the bonus stuff that we get. I know Claire has secured some prizes. I think Ooh. She's got Harry's and Movement on board for some prizes.
Very
Harry's
good.
Razors Movement watches. So look, there's still plenty of time to donate. You can ask a question for our Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it's thank you, first of all.
Absolutely.
Because this is...
We're going to answer all the questions.
That's right. So that means we've got 100.
Doesn't matter how long it takes.
Oh,
last time
that.
I took two episodes.
You made us come back and do it again.
That's true, I did.
You son of a bitch. I'd rather do it all in one sitting.
We'll okay, cool.
We'll
let's do it.
We'll do a 9-hour podcast.
Great.
Just get it done. But so what was I going to say? So look, hey, listen, if you can still donate, you should because it's thank you. First, I'm blown away, Mason.
Oh, look at this guy. Look at this guy. He's lost for words. Oh, I'm so genuine.
I've got some words.
Oh.
Hey. Anyway, it's linked below. Get into it. You want any podcasts?
I can just imagine just people veering off the road. They're like, oh, time to settle into my favorite podcast, first of all. Wishful thinking on my part. But they're like, yeah, time to listen to a podcast that I'm familiar with. So
no surprises.
I'll play it while I'm driving. And they get in the car and it's like, oh, and then they veer off.
Or they join in,
yeah,
hands off the wheel.
Oh, my God.
Flower
guys,
to a tree.
Keep your hands on the wheel. Hands at 10 and 2, all right?
Though I think
goggles and gloves.
10 and 2 doesn't even apply anymore because apparently it's a pre-power steering kind of thing.
Oh.
Like, you know, don't quote me on that.
Okay.
Google it. Don't do that.
All right. Yeah. Hands at 7 and 2.
Yeah.
But the opposite hands.
Okay, so No Time to Die, the new Bond film, has a poster.
Again, they're sticking with that Love Boat font.
Yeah, it's not a good poster though, is it? It looks like a photoshopped situation.
It looks like...
I mean, they are photoshopped, obviously.
Well, yeah, but it looks like maybe like a Vanity Fair photo of Daniel Craig, just like he's just standing on some steps or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't give any particularly Bond vibes,
no.
I don't think.
People are saying, look at the ears on him, but I say... He's always had those ears.
Is that what the PR company is saying?
Yeah.
Look at the ears on this guy. Look at what he's doing. I mean, everybody else works out the regular rig.
Yeah,
he works
absolutely,
out the ears.
Yeah. It's his head.
A lot of people emailed in and tweeted at us to ask what we meant by rig last week.
Oh, because some people thought we meant dick.
We talked about Christian Bale's amazing rig in American Psycho.
It's body.
Yeah.
I guess that's an
Oh, we were not talking
thing.
About his dick?
I mean, I was.
All right, yeah, me too.
So is that an Australian thing?
No, I don't think it is. Maybe it's regional. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Because it's a, you know, don't you?
We just meant abs, basically.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Do you ever say that to somebody? Look at the bloody rig on this bloke. I mean, as in dick.
Yeah, absolutely I do. Yeah. Yeah.
You never said.
I'm just leaning into change rooms. Look at this guy.
So there you go. That means there's probably a trailer coming for this soon. Mm. Excited to see where this goes, I guess. Nothing that I've seen from it is super exciting as of yet. But we'll see, won't we?
Yeah, we kind of really know a little bit where it's going again. It seems to be, it's like, well, Bond's retired, but then boom, Blofeld's back. Blofeld.
Yeah, isn't
they're like, Blofeld's back.
Who?
You know, Blofeld.
Your brother or what? I don't know.
So anyway, you got to come back. Yeah, it's like, great. All right, fine.
Good. I'll do it.
One last mission.
Yeah.
Then all the remaining missions.
Yes, of course, after that one. So maybe by next week we'll be talking about the Bond trailer. Maybe we'll do an episode on the Breaking Bad movie next week.
Do you think they would ever change the Bond actor in continuity? Do you think they'd ever give him...
I think that's what this might be. I think this might be the time that they...
Oh, no, I meant if keep him as James Bond, but change the actor. And like give him face-off surgery or something like that.
Oh, I
and
thought
be like
you
we got to put you in.
I thought you
protection.
Meant like he's retired and the new Bond.
No,
you know,
new
007,
right? No,
I don't think so. Yeah, uh-huh. Do you think so?
No, wishful thinking though.
Yeah,
is it'd be it? Fun though? Or maybe he's in an accident and he comes back and he's
got a new rig on him.
Got a new rig on him, exactly.
Bond, we made your dick smaller. Why?
We found it was distracting you. I mean, a lot of these missions, a lot of people are getting killed quite early on in the piece because you can't keep your hands off your piece. Is all I'm saying. So just, if there's no temptation.
Yeah, we also shaved it back.
Also, we've given you a little T-Rex arm, so you can't even reach it if you wanted to.
Like Mark Wahlberg.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe they should get Mark Wahlberg.
I know. I think the last of my enthusiasm for the Bond franchise would disappear if they cast Mark Wahlberg.
Wow, there you go. That's controversial.
Yeah.
And not inaccurate. So I guess we're talking about Spider-Man again. We'll do it one more week.
Okay.
This is about the Sony deal.
No more Spider-Man talk.
That's right. So apparently, Bob Iger, your dad, has said that Tom Holland was instrumental in making the deal happen. I think this is bullshit. I think this is just a like, you know who the real hero is? Tom Holland.
The superhero.
And the fans.
Yeah, that's right. The fans there, yeah. Tom Holland collected letters and kisses from all the fans, and he brought them to Sony, and he was like, please, sir, please.
It's all I have. I can't go back to the chimney sweeping.
He had his little cap in his hand. it is chest like, go on.
He's developed a cough.
He's got the consumption.
Yeah, so it said.
Do you think? Yeah, because it was all like he's flown there personally and he's what have you. So.
I just don't believe it. Do you believe it?
I'd never.
I'm sure he did that. But I don't believe that that was the final thing that they were.
Oh, I see. You think that it actually... Okay,
yeah, probably.
Right, okay.
I mean, because why wouldn't you want to keep doing it that way?
Yeah.
Because it's working for him, isn't it?
I guess that's... Yeah, well, that's true. Mm. But I mean, it never even occurred to me that this might be just marketing spin until you put it on my head. Because I'm so innocent. I'm just sending letters and kisses to all my actor friends. And you put this cynicism in me, I don't know.
I don't mind doing it. Mm. It said that he's a great Spider-Man and I felt for him and it was clear that fans wanted all of this to happen. He made a couple of phone calls and sometimes companies, when they're negotiating, they forget that there are other folks out there that actually matter. Wow.
Yeah, right.
Your dad's got a lot of heart, Mason.
Yeah, I mean, he showed him pictures of the crew and their families. They just tore them up. Just tore them up like, nope, bring in a celebrity, someone I care about.
I mean, the crew gets... We'll just get another project regardless,
I guess that's
right?
True.
Does it really matter?
But I think some of them follow, like, if you've got a director.
A particular director, yeah.
They bring their cinematographer.
Apparently,
they bring their...
John Watts is in talks again to come back. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would still like them to kind of strip it back, in like away from the... He's the new Iron Man and he's got the tech. And,
oh, absolutely, yeah.
And now everyone knows who he is as well or whatever.
Yeah. But again, I just want to see that result somehow.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange, magic.
Yeah. Magic, time travel, clones, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's someone else in a Spider-Man suit.
Exactly, all those things.
Yeah, that's it.
Nobody saw that except him, maybe. might have been.
Could be.
And they're like, he will definitely go out and tell everybody he's Spider-Man if we just show him. This saves a lot of time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, are we going to hack into this worldwide computer system or are we going to get this guy on board to do this over the internet? Or we can just tell him and he'll tell everyone. He'll swing through the streets and be like, I'm definitely not Peter Parker.
I'm not Tom Holland. I would like it to be a situation like the Batman 66 movie and TV series where every now and then Alfred will dress up as Batman to rescue Bruce Wayne.
But it's Happy Hogan.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Correct. Uh-huh. Yeah.
He just wanders up on stage.
Hey.
he puts the suit on and, you know, Tom Holland pushes the button and it gets all really tight. He does that and it doesn't change at all. It's just,
I think
it just whines.
I think
like
it'd be like a girdle.
Yeah, it just winds like an overextended fan belt and then it just stops.
He's loving the chef show.
Yeah.
He can't help himself.
It's a great show.
Good on him. It's a great show. What else we got here? Star Wars news.
Star Wars news.
The Mandalorian directed Deborah.
Oh, wait, Star Wars news.
Oh, that's, you don't like it,
No,
remember?
We've had a few weeks off, I think. So do we get a new poster for The Mandalorian?
We did. I believe we got a few because it's New York Comic Con weekend. There's a couple of new reveals. We've got Ms. Marvel is going to be in the
She's
going to
be
game.
In the new Avengers game. She's going to be one of the main playable
Big
characters.
Punching fist.
Big punching
I
fist.
I think we're going to get a whole lot of different people.
Does that mean Mode 7 is back?
Did it ever really go?
No, that's
true.
That's how they make the fist really big.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Mmm, delicious.
It is delicious. Okay, does that mean that it's going to be the main Avengers cast plus Ms. Marvel, or is it going to be main Avengers cast, Ms. Marvel, and a bunch of other? Or do you think she gets a full run through the game, or do you think she's got like a mini mission?
I believe the idea is that like you can pick, once you've unlocked a character,
yep,
you can pick that character for whatever mission.
Oh, yeah, cool, yeah. Cool.
But
cool.
I don't know whether she's in the core group from the start or you unlock right. them, like Ultimate Alliance or whatever. But yeah, there you go. Anyway, Star Wars news. Deborah Chow, who's directing The Mandalorian, she's going to be also directing the Obi-Wan series, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, Joel Edgerton looks to be back as Owen Lars.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you excited for that?
Yep, sure.
He's a great actor, and
it'd be nice to know anything about Owen Lars.
He didn't do anything. Yeah. I believe Joel Edgerton said the only things he did on those movies were like he'd just step out with like an oily rag, like rubbing his hands down. It's like, what's going on here? And Klieg Lars is like, remember Klieg Lars?
Nope.
He's the guy from Broken Arrow, the Australian actor.
You're thinking of Clear Glass,
no,
which is what's left after Owen Lars rubs the rubs the rag on the glass.
Who's the actor from Broken Arrow who's Australian?
Jack Thompson.
Yes, it's Jack Thompson. He's got one leg.
Yep.
And he married Anakin Skywalker's mother or whatever, and then she was kidnapped by sand people or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Thompson's lived a life, hasn't he?
You know he has. He's alive, isn't he? Oh, he posed nude for like...
Playgirl or something.
Australian...
Last year.
Really?
No.
Wow. I knew that. I don't know why I said really.
Great rig.
What do you mean by that? Which interpretation?
Just the whole Jack Thompson situation, you know?
I love it. The other thing is there's a Picard trailer.
I saw that.
There's some spoilers. We're flying through this. I don't like it.
Don't like it? Only been going 2 minutes.
I feel like there's more faff than actual news here than we're doing. You know what I mean? Or is that standard?
It's a mystery some weeks.
Faff doesn't mean dick either. Because, you know, I'm using some... is that a local word? I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But so the Picard trailer, there's some things that it spoils, which I kind of wish it didn't. It's got,
well, we got some appearance of, well, I mean, for people who don't, maybe skip ahead, but
yes,
for people
there's
who,
time codes as always.
There's some old characters who are back, specifically Will Riker is back.
Yes.
And
Troy.
And Deanna Troy is back. Data was back. Did we know who's back?
I think
back?
It's Data.
It's Datums.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I think that's a dream sequence, but I think he's probably just back in general.
Uh-huh, yeah.
What do you think of that?
It's always interesting when you get a character who's always like an immortal, ageless robot.
I did think that
and
crossed
then
my
you,
mind.
Then you bring him back. And they have aged.
Yeah.
I mean, he still
looks good, but it's been... Well, he first played that character in the 80s.
Yeah, that's
true. So that's not a bad effort, but
yeah. It's been since Nemesis?
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember they talked about it around the time of Nemesis. I saw an interview with him. That actor, what's his name again?
It's Brent Spiner.
Brent Spiner. And he was talking about how I can only play this for so long because I will age out of it. But I guess you can also de-age and whatever. But
well, that's true.
It doesn't look like they really did that. They just painted him gold and sent him out into that field, didn't they? Uh-huh. Is this more or lessened your anticipation?
More, I think.
Mm.
But I mean, it's sort of fed into what I thought it was going to be, which is ragtag team.
Ragtag team.
He's going rogue.
It looks like there's a warrior kind of Vulcan character in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like a Legolas / Spock type.
Very intense eyebrows.
Yeah. Well, they always do, don't they?
But I mean, these are especially intense.
What do you think that is? Is it his drive?
Oh, yeah, it probably is, yeah.
And he runs so fast that they've kind of...
Oh, yes, it's... It's drag.
Mm.
That's what's happening there. He's in drag. That's what I'm saying.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of him going back to the Federation. Is like, there's a disaster, and they're like, you're not even part of the Federation.
It's so old. It's so old. I like the little moment in there, and again, it's kind of spoiled in the trailer, but there's a hologram of the Enterprise above him, and he has to be like Picard, PICARD,
yes.
You know, from that,
from
probably.
That, yeah.
You know.
And he gets a visitor's badge.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff. He's what, 72, 73 now?
Who knows?
He's probably about that. Anyway, he looks great.
He does.
He's aged spectacularly.
Yeah. I think they've really had to go like, oh, he's such an old, wizened old little spindly man or whatever. And he looks, yeah, he just looks
mostly the same. Yeah,
he's going to have to fix that with acting.
That's true. I think the thing about that guy is as well, because he always looked like 50-ish.
That's true.
Because he's always been bald.
Yeah.
And he's always been like the same build.
If they've got, if they'd gone with originally what apparently they'd planned to, which is him, Patrick Stewart, with a wig.
Did they
really? Have you seen that photo?
I don't know. I've seen they had a flashback and they did the, and he's got a wig and a flashback.
Oh, that might, well, that might be it. Yeah. But I've
so seen, like the first episode they were going to do a wig.
Well, I've seen it on the internet as like, here, this is Picard test wig.
Okay, well, I can do this on my computer as well.
Nice.
It's a race to see the wig. Yes. I've got excellent wig, so.
Wig test.
Oh, yeah. Is it got Borg implants in there? No,
maybe.
That's not a bad wig, though, because it's like a thin kind of wig.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, well, even if they put him in a wig then, they could put him back in the wig.
That's true, yeah.
You know what I mean? Wigs are eternal.
That's true. See, I don't know. See, that's the thing about this photo like this is I can't tell if it's an actual test photo of him wearing a wig or they've just taken a press photo of him from the 80s and they've photoshopped a wig on.
Yeah.
Like it's just a deviant art or a bloody...
Whatever.
What's that guy's name?
Which one?
Boss Logic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing actual stuff for like studios.
Yeah, he's doing
kind of stuff
comic book covers and stuff. Mm. Yeah, good for him.
Isn't that cool that you can do that now? You can work your way up through the internet, like just through like starting with fan art. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. Gives us hope to all people.
But that's also kind of like these days because fan art gets so much attention nowadays because all those websites need clickbait and
my
god, it's Picard, but that's not it.
Yeah, if there's a slight, you know, like there's a rumor of a casting, like an Idris Elba.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, it's like Robin in Suicide Squad 2 and you're like, oh, Robin in Suicide Squad, not bad. And then you're like,
this is an interpretation
of what it might be like. Yeah.
And often it doesn't look anything like
that,
what it ends up being. Mm. But anyway, our hot scoop took off a little bit.
Yes.
Some sites were beholden to the rules of hot scoop and shot a poop.
Others, like
our former
home, comicbookmovie.com, just didn't bother.
Collings, I know you're listening to this. He runs Planet Broadcasting website and the socials, and he edits Suggestible. Websoid. That's how you say it in Australia.
Yeah.
I want you to go back through every episode and edit out the bit where we say comicbookmovie.com. Make it hotmail.com.
Yes, please. We're the official podcast of hotmail.com.
Yeah. So, look, that's pretty poor form, Mason.
Yes.
The website that gave us our start.
Yes. Is not kowtowing to our stupid demands for our stupid segments.
That we're not even associated with the site anymore. Anyway.
Bit of professional courtesy from those dogs would be appreciated.
Anyway, I appreciate the people who reached out and be like, make sure you put in the hot scoop thing. You know, we appreciate that. It helps every day, bro.
What's that scoop again? I've forgotten.
Idris
Elba. Oh, it was Vigilante.
We had an anonymous thing about who's who in the Suicide
Squad.
Well,
we haven't heard anything yet. So.
No, we'll find out though, won't we?
We will.
Did you hear that the Watchmen episode, the new show Watchmen, premiered at Comic-Con?
I did hear that.
And apparently it was very well received. We received a couple of messages from people who saw it.
How many minutes of a standing ovation did it get?
I think it was 40,000. They're still doing it.
40,000 minutes.
Yeah, they're planning to hit 40,000. That's their goal. Yeah.
For charity or?
No, just for the love of the game.
Is it some sort of Alan Moore magic ritual of some sort? Summon a demon?
Or he's cursed them to do it.
A squid-like demon some sort?
So that's good news.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Comic-Con and you woo everything, but that's not bad news. So,
it is, yeah. I think if anything's going to tip Comic-Con crowds the other way, is maybe a really bad adaptation of a beloved thing.
Yeah, that's not incorrect.
But then they will woo anything.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You've probably heard this, or maybe you've even experienced it. A business
gets to a certain size, and then the cracks start to emerge. Things that used to take like a day are now taking a week. There's too many manual processes just grinding away, and you don't have that one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000. That's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, streamlining accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and a whole lot more. 25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. 1. Because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs, key performance indicators, in one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need to grow, all in one place. NetSuite allows you to have the power of all the information in one place to help you make more effective decisions as quickly as possible, so you can keep moving, keep building, keep growing, or have more time off. Whatever it is that you're looking to do. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. That's netsuite.com/weeklyplanet to get your own KPI checklist. netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer... Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. But also with a pilot, you really don't know like what way it's going to go in general. It kind of... They're always a little bit shaky, generally, and then they can go any which way after that. But yeah, good. Did you hear that General Swanwick, which is the name of the general from the Batman v Superman universe?
Yes.
He's the one who Superman crashes the satellite in front of him, and he's like, don't be fucking spying on me. And he's like, well, you work for us, Superman. And he's like, I'll laser you in half.
Yeah.
If you keep spying on me.
Yeah.
Why did he drop that satellite out of the sky? That's so uncool. He could have brought it down and be like, look what I have. I can crush this. I'll put it back. So they'll be following me. Or is it a better message to...
Well, I mean, if they stop following him, they'll start following other people.
Oh, yeah. So what does he care?
That's a good point.
He's not a good bloke, is what I'm saying.
He's one of the worst.
Anyway,
good riddance to General Swanwick.
Yes, but he is Martian Manhunter.
You know, I thought you were going to say he's going to be real to be Swan Neck.
He's got a beautiful curved
neck. The hero with a beautiful curved swan neck, yes.
But he...
Martian Manhunter, though,
yes.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder released a storyboard?
Yeah.
Where it was going to be revealed at the end that he morphs into John Johns.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So that's cool.
Yeah, apparently there's some set photos of that actor wearing a mocap suit.
Oh,
like from the past. And then nothing ever emerged from that.
Yeah.
So that might be...
That makes a lot of sense.
That lean towards him having a way more superhero-y...
I guess that also makes sense for him coming out at Comic-Con because he revealed the Batman v Superman logo in the first place. Do you remember?
Yeah, right. I don't remember that, but okay.
He had... So I guess he was going to play this bigger role.
Mm.
I know, like, the... Swan neck. Swan neck, yes. I know...
It was right there in front of us the whole time.
I can't believe I didn't say it.
Yeah.
But I...
The wick is the neck.
I don't think we're ever going to... So yeah, but there's some interesting ideas in here that unfortunately, weren't we going to get Justice League 2 by now as well?
You know what? Should have made a better movie then.
Which one time around?
Or every time. Every time they had an opportunity to make a movie, they should have made a better movie.
Than the, what we got.
Than
what
we got,
sometimes
yes.
Sometimes there were some all right ones. Shazam was all right. Wonder Woman was all right.
Yeah.
They made Aquaman. Is that not good enough for you? They made it. We went to the cinemas.
I remember that, yeah.
A crab fought a shark or something at the end.
Yeah, I remember. Seahorses.
Who was on what side?
Oh, yeah.
Was it the octopuses were the good ones or were the squid the dolphins were against the mermaid people?
It was like a four-dimensional game of chess. But like one of those ones you get at like a hippie store where it's a chess set, but it's like crystal dolphins.
Ah, beautiful. Mm. Beautiful. Remember that shop that used to be near us?
Yes.
Skulls and Bongs, which just sold. It wasn't called Skulls and Bongs. That's what we call it. It just used to sell stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just pewter skulls and bongs.
Oh, yeah.
And that was pretty. Or like a wizard.
Broadsword.
Yeah.
The old wizard holding a crystal.
Yeah.
Like with a staff and the end of the staff is a crystal. Yeah, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Great stuff.
Pretty good.
I miss Skulls and Bongs. I think it's like a $2 shop now or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What was that? Doesn't matter. I was going to ask what it's really called. You don't know.
No, I don't know.
We also got a trailer this week for Birds of Prey.
Yeah, we did.
I made a trailer breakdown. If you want to check it out, I can link it below. It looks to be, well, it is an extension of the Harley Quinn character from Suicide Squad and whatever.
She's got herself a... I wonder if there's a voiceover from her in the trailer.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a little bit kind of hard-boiled detective novel kind of voiceover. I wonder if that's going to be in the movie or that's trailer only.
Oh, right. Yeah, good question.
It is a good
question.
Anything
could be
it?
Changed at any point.
That's true. Mm. They might do two... This might be, you know, a shot at a Blade Runner style. Theatrical cut, director's cut. They'll put it in for one and take it out for the other.
Except both of them
buy
are bad.
Both. Yeah, both of them are bad, yes.
Look, I think this looks okay, but I don't trust any of this...
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Anymore. They've taken a lot of... this one seems to be way more grounded than any kind of Suicide Squad situation. There doesn't seem to be any kind of magic or even really any superpowers. Well,
I guess there is the Black Canary character. So it depends on what version of that
if
voice.
If she has a sonic scream or not.
I talked about in the video. But yeah, that's exactly it.
We do get kind of a big... And you were saying it's Black Mask's hideout.
Yes.
Kind of that big mask... If you
with
will.
The hands.
Yeah.
The big
black hands. So we are kind of getting kind of some nods to maybe 60s TV Batman or old school Batman where it's, you know, big props and such.
I feel like this is, and I think I said this in the video I did, but the way that Suicide Squad was kind of reverse engineered to be more like this with the marketing and they put in the fun like title sequences when characters popped up. But this feels like that it's intentionally that from the start.
Yeah.
So I would say the trailer is more likely to be an accurate representation of what they've actually made here.
Or this one doesn't test well, so they reverse engineer it the other way.
They go gunmetal gray.
And so when we get the movie, it's just like 95 minutes of Harley Quinn sitting in a car smoking, like listening to like a surveillance device or something like that. And in the end, she walks in and shoots a couple of people and leaves, and that's the end of the movie.
I said this to you earlier this week. I'm curious. I'm not sure whether... I think Margot Robbie is good as Harley Quinn.
Yes.
But I don't know whether that plays in live action with the voice and everything yet.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
It's
accurate, but I don't know whether it's...
It's accurate, but it's piercing.
Yeah.
Like an arrow.
Like an arrow. Or a bird of prey.
Like a bird of prey.
Coming at you.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know.
Yeah, so, yeah. And also, this trailer seems to be a lot... It seems to be... We've got it's a Harley Quinn movie, but we're getting, you know, this big dot of light that is Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
And then just a bunch of people in hoodies and
and
leather jackets.
Motorcycle helmets or whatever.
Give us some more. Give us some costumes. Come on.
You it's interesting because you also, when I said that to you earlier, the thing that I said earlier.
Oh, yeah.
You likened it to the Christian Bale Batman voice where you just kind of locked into this version.
Forever, yeah.
Because by the time it got to The Dark Knight Rises, people were like, this is funny and why are you still doing it?
Yeah, it's so stupid. And again, just give him a little voice modulator thing.
Which is what they did in BVS.
But I mean, like, do it by the third one.
Oh, yeah, so he doesn't have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Mm. But anyway, we'll see.
Maybe she'll get a little voice modulator.
Why would she, though? To make her voice...
Normal. Yep.
Hello. I am... Is that a normal voice?
Yeah, hello.
Like an Australian man. That's the kind of voice that I want.
That's right, yeah. Uh-huh.
Anyway, it's out in February, so we'll see what bloody goes on there then.
Yep.
Okay, I'm reading this quote that I've got here, and I, oh yeah, that's right. I was like, what have I written here?
Is it from your quote, like the thing you did last, what was that thing you did last week? You just, oh no, we did a caravan,
that was
of, garbage,
a caravan of garbage,
and you just had a series of unconnected thoughts. That was thoughts.
For, we did the real Terminator 3 for this week's caravan of garbage.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We're doing a trilogy of Terminator 3s.
Yeah, this one's the realest Terminator 3
it
there
really
is.
It really is, yeah.
Real, I mean, James Cameron 100% signed off on this one. This is his baby.
And it's not Terminator Jennifer's.
It's not Terminator Jennifer's. What he named his daughter. Is my daughter Terminator Jennifer's?
So this is from Martin Scorsese, because there was a bit of outrage.
Oh, this quote.
Week,
okay,
that,
yeah.
I'll read it out. It's, okay, it's in relation to Marvel movies. He said,
I take it out of context. I read the whole
straight
thing.
Through.
All right.
I don't see them. I tried. You know? He said, you know. He would never say,
you know.
Know.
Contractions are for the common people.
Agreed. But that's
he's a common people. He's a regular guy from Jersey, probably.
He is probably.
Probably.
But that's not cinema. Honestly, the closest I can think of them, as well-made as they are, with actors doing the best they can under the circumstances, is theme parks. It isn't the cinema of human beings trying to convey emotion, psychological experiences to another human being. So basically saying Marvel movies that you tried to watch aren't real movies and the theme parks and whatever, which, you know, they kind of are like fun rides, a lot of them, anyway.
For sure.
Again, like every time somebody lashes out against these...
Big backlash.
And who cares?
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, Martin Scorsese's got to be in his mid-70s at this point,
I would
surely.
Say so, yeah.
So, like, and again, I wonder in what context he saw one of these,
which one it was. Which Thor did he see? Thor 1 or Thor 2?
Yeah.
No. He's 76, Jesus.
There we go, all right. Mm. And again, it's just personal taste. If you'd never seen a Marvel movie before and you saw Thor Ragnarok, you might be like, this is an amazing fun ride. Or you might be like, I don't understand any of this.
Yeah.
What is, because you... It's a Norse god being thrown into a sci-fi world.
Yes.
Fighting the Hulk.
Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum's in it.
Yeah.
You might be like, this is amazing. Or you might be like, No, this has gone too far.
This Independence Day resurgence sequel has gone too
far. Yeah, right?
Because they're kicking some alien ass.
Oh, my God. Spiner. Yeah, nice.
But, yeah, so, and also, I guess the other thing is, he's a good director, so.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not like. There's a lot of time it's just some loser.
Yeah, well, that's true.
This time it's like a guy, I'm like, I respect this guy's opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
He can say what he wants. Yeah.
I wonder what context he saw it in. Did, like, his grandkids show him one?
I bet he doesn't know what one it was.
Yeah.
Mm.
Might have been a DC one, to be honest.
Well, that's the thing. He didn't specifically say it was...
And he said, I think he didn't say these Marvel movies? That might be... And again, like, I wouldn't condemn him for having an opinion on these movies, but I wonder if he meant, like...
Maybe watch Dick Tracy from 1991.
Exactly. Well, maybe... when people go, I don't like these Marvel movies, they sort of... These days, because there's so many of them, it's sort of an umbrella that refers to all superhero movies. So,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
I believe Dick Tracy was 1990. I'm sorry, everybody. I had to Google that. Remember he talked into his watch?
Yeah, of course I remember he talked into his watch.
Remember when we had that... 10-minute
discussion about the Dick Tracy movie,
a few weeks back.
Yeah, I remember.
Can't remember what episode, but bloody hell, I enjoyed that. There were so many ins and outs, because Warren Beatty's obligated to...
We know.
Yeah, I know, but I think people haven't seen it.
Okay, right.
I mean, who sticks around to the very end of this?
That's true.
Not you, I know that. You're normally out the door.
I mean,
I have to use offcuts of old episodes to piece this episode together. Anyway, apparently The Irishman is great. It's screened and everybody loves it, and it goes for like 3.5 hours. It's coming to Netflix soon. But again, it was early screening, and who knows?
And I mean, it's pretty bloody ironic of Scorsese. I mean, he cast De Niro as Stiltman in that movie. So,
but it was real.
Yeah, it was real.
It was gritty and real.
No CGI there. Yeah. Real stilts. Or is it Pacino with the stilts on?
Ooh, tall.
That's good stuff.
Thanks. Big steps.
Big man doing big steps.
Mason, you know this, but I like my mattresses like I like my podcasts.
How's this going to go? Here we go, everybody. This is going to be
designed by humans for humans. I don't want some
that's quite nice, actually,
algorithmic podcast or mattress.
Exactly. Meep, meep. I'm a robot. I'm going to design a mattress for you. Oh, it's made of rocks and sticks and scaffolding.
No good.
No, it's bad. It's
maybe good for a robot, but robots don't even sleep.
What about the rocks and sticks, though? That was a weird thing to put in there.
It's like that rocks and sticks podcast that's designed by a robot as well. It's no good.
Makes no sense. This makes sense.
This makes perfect sense to me, Mason.
The thing I'm mentioning doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. Because Casper products are cleverly designed to mimic human curves, providing supportive comfort. for all kinds of bodies. How much of your life would you assume that you would spend sleeping? How much? Give me a ballpark figure.
All of it?
A third. You were close. Well, you were two-thirds off.
So the time I'm doing the podcast, but I'm definitely sleeping then, right?
Yes.
This is just a beautiful dream where I get to advertise mattresses, right? That's what this is?
That's right, exactly.
Because that's what happens in my dreams. I just drift off. I get on my Casper mattress, which has just the right amount of sink and bounce, and I get on it and I'm like, beautiful, the most, just lets me live my best life in my dreams.
Oh, absolutely.
Where I'm on this podcast being like, buy a Casper mattress, you know?
That's what dreams are made of.
Yeah.
The experts at Casper, who are people, work tirelessly to make quality sleep surfaces that cradle your natural geometry in all the right places.
They are people, or they're robots so advanced they're indistinguishable from people.
I'll take that. I don't care. I'll do whatever.
Yeah, right.
If an AI gets to the point where it's indistinguishable from a human being, isn't that just another form of life, Mason?
Absolutely. We're getting to the deep. This philosophical discussion has just the right amount of sink and bounce.
I mean, people think this is a riff, but this is actually in the talking points that they gave us.
That's the copy that they gave us. I don't understand, but I mean, I'll go with it. I'll just read a thing verbatim, including this bit where I say, I'll just read a thing verbatim. I'll do it.
That's right. The original Casper mattress, which is the one you have, combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amount of sink and bounce, as mentioned. Breathable design that helps you sleep cool and regulate your body temperature. It's heating up here, Mason. Mm. We've come out of winter. We're now going into the hotter months.
I wouldn't even notice.
You're doing it all year round.
Exactly. It doesn't matter.
365 days a year, 24/7. You are sleeping.
365 degrees, my oven that I've left on in my house right now. Doesn't matter. As soon as I get home, get in that bed. Regulated body temperature feels good.
They've also got over 20,000 reviews with an average of 4.8 stars across Casper, Amazon, and Google. Casper is fast becoming the internet's favorite mattress. And of course, they have that wonderful unboxing experience. Comes in a little box, size of like a mini fridge. Open it up. What's in there?
Regular fridge?
No, mattress.
That's even more amazing.
I know, because you'd expect a fridge, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but some kind of fridge.
Yeah. Actually, this is great, Mason, because people listening to this can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/theweeklyplanet and use this offer code, theweeklyplanet, all one word. Terms and conditions do apply for that. But if you want $50 towards select mattresses, visit casper.com/theweeklyplanet and use offer code, theweeklyplanet. Terms and conditions apply. Please get a mattress if you want one.
Get a mattress. Now I've got to wake up and come do the podcast where I'm going to talk about selling mattresses.
Wonderful.
But I don't want to leave this beautiful dream where I'm currently selling mattresses.
Oh, man, it's tough, isn't it?
It's tough. It's like a decision to make.
Wow, what an ad.
We're back from the ad.
And we're just in time for what, Mason?
Talking about Joker?
We are talking about Joker.
Oh, yeah.
Long time coming. It feels like I saw this 100 years ago.
Me too.
When people first started talking about this movie.
Yeah.
100 years ago. Do you want to talk box office first?
Sure.
Okay, what are the numbers?
$80 million?
Yeah, pretty good. 92.
I think I saw a tweet.
You were wrong, but the fact that you even got, you said millions.
I said millions of dollars. $80,000? Which is just the price of the bloody popcorn and the drink, am I right?
You're not wrong.
Yeah, for me.
Upsize, I've got to pay my bloody mortgage.
There we go.
So it's the largest October opening ever. We do good jokes here.
We do, it's true.
And like this movie, it holds a mirror to society and
that's
cinema.
True. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It beat Venom. That was the last score.
Oh, yeah.
The last time that, I think Venom.
Maybe Scorsese saw Venom.
Yeah, he might have. Yeah. I mean, he'd remember Venom, though, wouldn't he?
What is a Marvel/DC movie that could lure Scorsese in? I know we're not talking about this
like
anymore.
Like, to get him watching it.
Yeah.
I think Batman v Superman could lure him in. Because it was, like, gritty and real. It was supposed to be.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. And I guess it's got two. Like, even if you don't know superheroes, you know.
You know Batman v Superman
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Even if
you
don't know.
That's right, yeah. You were aware of the concept of a Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So that's $92 million in the US, but it also made $57 million on top of that in the international market. So for an R-rated movie in particular, this is crushing.
What did it make in China? They're famously afraid of clowns.
I don't actually know. I think that's just all international markets, unless it's not out there yet, which is entirely possible. We saw this about 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
What do you think of it?
Okay, you know what I'd like to talk about first? We should talk about the movie on its merits in a minute. But I think what people said, especially pre-release, and what we've seen in a lot of reviews, is people going, oh my God, this is a way more mature take on a comic book movie that nobody's ever dared to do before. Oh my God, it's raised the bar for a comic book movie. Oh my God, it's redefined the comic book movie genre. Blah,
blah, blah, yeah.
I would probably humbly suggest that if a movie is going to redefine a genre, it should probably contain at minimum one element of the genre that it's trying to redefine. And I would suggest that this movie does not contain any elements of the comic book movie genre.
Even though it has...
Beyond a name, a couple of names and places,
yes,
and a character who is superficially similar to the character in the comic books.
I think
that's
it. I think it's interesting. First of all, I thought this was okay.
Sure,
I didn't love it at all. And there's elements of it that I really liked.
Yes,
but for me, this fell down in a lot of places.
Okay, picture this.
Yeah,
the same movie we watched.
I know what you're going to say. Yeah,
do you?
I was going to pose you the same question.
Really?
But do you take out the Joker element?
No, but okay, well you do, but here's the thing.
Mm.
Same movie.
Yep.
But rather than a man who puts on like white face paint and dyes his hair green, he puts on a tank top and he shaves his head. And instead of calling the movie Joker, it's called Dom Toretto. And it's the same movie, except he's like a little weak, broken down man, and he's so afraid, but society keeps beating him down, and eventually he snaps and he steals Robert De Niro's DVD player and he starts a life of crime. And then all the critics are like, oh my god, this has redefined the street racing genre. Oh my god, this is such a mature take on this character that nobody would dare to do before. And then you'd be like, I didn't really see any street racing in this movie. And they'd be like, yeah, well, car chases for children, aren't they? Car chases, this movie's moved beyond that sort of, that's what it's about, the human drama, isn't it? You're fine, but it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the.
It's just called Furious, actually.
Yes,
it's just called Furious. And it's the same font.
It's called Dominic.
Oh, Dominic.
So, yeah, but the question I had for you, which was similar, was if you took the Joker out of this,
yes,
do you think people would be like, this redefined anything? Because I think they'd just be like, it's like Taxi Driver. And
yeah,
King
I think
Comedy,
they'd be like,
it?
This is a very solid Scorsese homage.
Yes.
I think they'd be like, this is a compelling performance. I'd say this is even a very compelling performance of a character, a troubled person in a very predictable script situation. Like, even if you haven't seen the trailers, you'd be like, well, I think this guy's going to do this.
And he does.
Like, I think at a certain point in this movie, you'd go, okay, well, they're very heavily foreshadowed that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And then it does.
Absolutely.
And
also, if you've seen King of Comedy, Taxi Driver,
yep,
then you know where this is going to go. But speaking of that, one of the elements that I really enjoyed of this was the way that they recreated. It's set in 81. That's where it kind of wraps up.
Uh-huh.
It's dead on. Like, it's got that slimy New York Ghostbusters Taxi Driver feel.
Well, it does, but I also think that a lot of this movie, they've gone, okay, what are the devices you can use to lend sort of filmic... credence to a movie. Okay, well, have a dirty new, you know, it's Gotham, but it's like if you want a movie to feel raw and authentic, you put it in dirty New York from back in the day, like during the garbage strike, whenever it's
hot. Gotham, Mason.
Yeah, it's hot and it smells like garbage, like Gotham does.
Yeah.
And then you have the character like lose a bunch of weight and smoke all the time.
Yes.
And then you go, okay, well, that's authentic,
that's
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But what I'm saying, yes, it is like a trope that they've borrowed to make it look like a certain type of film or invoke a certain feeling, but it is done flawlessly.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of those background old buildings and old cars that they do with CGI or whatever, but you never notice any of that, is what I'm saying.
Street toughs
and the like.
Playing stickball,
graffitis, all those kinds of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that element of it is just, it's incredible because you don't think about, it's the same with Once Upon a Time Hollywood. It's that you don't think about that.
Yeah.
It's amazing that they recreated it. But as you're watching it, you're not thinking about that they did recreate it.
Well, that's
it.
True. And I think even like even more so than probably Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is way more of kind of a heightened reality.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels, it feels like we're in a movie because Tarantino loves movies. So we're in a movie watching a movie about making movies. But this feels like...
Mm.
It feels like a movie that they filmed in the 80s.
Yes.
Which credit to them for doing that.
Absolutely.
Credit to the production team for doing that.
And if we're talking crediting things.
Oh, yes.
Joaquin Phoenix is excellent in this movie.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
His performance is like what he's supposed to do. He does all of those things.
Uh-huh.
He's clearly like seriously committed to it, and he thought about the character. Even the way he's got this clown running kind of walk in and thing that he does, which is like he's always kind of wearing the shoes. And the physicality of it, he does.
He's always wearing shoes.
No, like the big clown shoes. Sorry.
Oh, I see. Right.
But he even runs like that when he's not wearing them, like the big kind of duck walk kind of run.
But just like the comic book character of the Joker.
Yes, but I'm also kind of like sick of that shit at the same time. Like,
right.
Do you know what I mean? Because like he does so much dancing like by himself.
Yeah, sure.
Like in front of the mirror or
like no one's watching.
Like no,
and that's the lesson that he learns in this dance. Like no one is watching.
Way too fucking much in this movie.
Wow, so that's where you're putting your foot down.
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. Like I get it. You're experiencing this
mental breakdown.
Mental breakdown or this moment of realization in your life, and you know you're coming off your meds, and you know you're experiencing these emotions again or for the first time. I understand it, but it's like
do something else with
that. Turn it down, mate.
I also feel like so. If you haven't seen it yet, I feel like they went, okay, the Jack Nicholson Joker, when he got shot and fell into the vat of chemicals, when he came back, he couldn't not smile. He had a condition where he couldn't stop smiling. And I think they went, how can we just do that in this? Oh, he's got a condition where he can't stop laughing.
I think because they didn't want to do that, obviously. Yep. They didn't want to do like the comic book. Because even Todd Phillips has talked the way he... convinced Joaquin Phoenix to do it.
No, he tricked him.
Probably. But, you know, because he was up for Doctor Strange for a long time and he didn't want to commit to the multi... I think he would have crushed that as well. He would have got so thin and smoking all the time.
Oh, my God.
So much dancing.
Oh, my God, imagine his grey temples. Ooh.
The greyest of the grey.
Wearing those gloves, you know? Ooh.
Ooh. He would have been great. But he was like, what we're going to do, we're gonna make a comic book movie, but we're actually making a real movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that to me is like... Hold your fucking horses. Like, it's not, this isn't that much better than a lot of just regular gangster movies.
I think this movie feels to me like it'd be, people would be like, if it was on Netflix, people would be like, this is a real forgotten, like an unseen gem. Right. People would really get behind this.
If it wasn't the Joker, or you just mean in
Yeah, just general? A, if it was just a regular movie, I think.
Yeah, you're probably right, yeah. So, what I think, I'm not really mad about this, but I thought it was... I'm mad,
you
Mason.
Sound like you're mad about it. You sound like you're mad online about this.
No, there's just people that they put in this that they don't use properly, and it's because it's just Arthur Fleck for the entire thing, really. You're following... Yeah, right. Like, there's Zazie Beetz, and there's Robert De Niro, and Marc Maron, and there's a bunch of other people who are excellent actors, and they maybe get 5 minutes each throughout the entire thing. And, but that's not so much a complaint. It's more like... I don't even know what it is. Maybe it is a complaint.
Right.
Yeah, but not that they were necessarily underused. Probably Marc Maron and Zazie Beetz more so than De Niro, because he has like a kind of a big kind of moment in this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it kind of felt like you got these people and they get
no more than the clown union that he's in. All the guys the boys in the clown union get more screen time than Robert De Niro.
That's not incorrect. Yeah. Uh-huh. I also think that, you know, because people are talking about how, I don't believe that this movie, there's a lot of talk in the media about, like, is it going to be responsible for shootings in cinemas and all those kinds of things. I think if someone's going to do that, they're just going to do it anyway. I don't think, it's the same with video games.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think people who play a video game are then, it's going to influence them to do terrible things.
Yeah. But I think maybe hysteria in the media over... Yes. Well, this is definitely, if somebody wants to make the absolute maximum amount of impact, that's what they're going to do. This is going to be the perfect to do it. Ah, primo prime time to do this. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. So I don't think, because I don't think there's anything in this which is particularly shocking or devastating.
No.
Or I was like, oh my God, I can't believe they went there. It was all like, oh yeah, for me.
I get it, yeah,
and
exactly.
Maybe I've seen too many movies. But
I think if you go in expecting, you know, Avengers...
Yeah.
Then maybe some of this will shock you.
Sure,
but I think if you go, well, it's Scorsese and it's gonna be, if you've seen any of the trailers, I don't think you'll be shocked by any of this.
What I think was interesting as well, though, is that Todd Phillips, even though he's made this movie about holding a mirror to, I hate saying this, but you know, to society and a depiction of mental health and like the culture of white men and finding their place in society and all of those kinds of things and like the 1% and the downtrodden and all those kinds of things. But he doesn't want to engage in that conversation. When people ask him about it, he's like, well, I think it's ridiculous that you think this movie... You made this movie.
Yeah, right.
This movie raises a lot of these questions.
Yeah.
It's okay for people to ask you these questions in regards to...
Why did you make it then?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's a bad thing to pose these questions. It's a good... But
it's clearly an allegory for now, a lot of it, but they've given us some distance because it's in the early 80s or whatever.
Yeah.
So why did you...
That's what I'm saying. And I think it's just because...
Also, why is Thomas Wayne such a meanie in this?
Well, people are... It's the real...
Again, like, if you want to put in... If you want to make this a comic book movie and you want to make, again, you need one element. You need a couple of elements that you go, oh, okay, just saying Thomas, the Wayne family, Thomas yeah. Wayne. If you're going to put in a Thomas Wayne, give him some of the characteristics of any version of Thomas Wayne yes. we've ever seen in the comic books or the movie, and or the movies. In this, he's just some rich prick.
See, that's the thing, though. I didn't mind that because I think the public, I found it interesting that the public face of him is this kind of guy who's talking about being for the good of Gotham, and I'm going to be mayor for the good of Gotham, and you yeah, people right. need me because I'm going to drag you out of the muck that you yeah, live right. in. But yeah, you're right. It's not Thomas Wayne, but I'm not real in this universe that they built. I'm not mad that it's not.
I am like mad. The golden I'm mad Thomas online. Because again, it's just a guy.
But yeah, well, but the what one thing though that I am kind of confused about is this version of the Joker is an absolute dead shit. Like he cannot. He's not a supervillain. He's a very lucky, dumb, troubled human being.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. Who lucks his way through every event, which kind of, not even, he's down, he's like, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, should we do spoilers?
Sure, let's do it.
Best, but yep. only for the performance and the New York.
All right.
It's for me, it's really on that.
Yeah, right.
I thought about this a lot.
Yeah.
Because when we were sat there, we you mentioned this last week, because we saw it with Broden. Yeah. Broden loved it. I was like, and you were... When you came out,
I hated it, and I turned to both of you, expecting both of you to be like, like two thumbs down, Joaquin Phoenix style in Gladiator, like, and I was surprised by those reactions.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say worst movie. I'm gonna say worst movie ever, in the sense that
he danced too much.
Yeah, he danced too much. But it's I think it would be an achievement if you. People are like, oh my God, this is a mature take on the comic book movie or whatever. I think it'd be way more of an achievement if you made a movie like this in the context of a superhero universe.
Like Watchmen?
No, like the DC universe. If you gave us a character we cared for, a performance we really liked in a DC universe where there is a Superman and a Batman, but you know, that's not important. You make us feel for this character.
Yes.
I would say that's much more of an achievement and build in continuity. Like, you know, Endgame maybe is a thrill ride or whatever, or an amusement park ride. But the sheer magnitude of all, you know, 10 years of continuity and putting it together and still going, okay, and we care about these characters. I think that is incredibly impressive. But to get a completely blank slate.
Or do Taxi Driver Light and the Joker.
Yeah, is not my... Like, it's. I would imagine it's quite easy to make us feel for this character insofar as he is not... And I mean, you know, not approving of anything that he ever did, but go, okay, I sympathize with the plight that you're in.
Yeah.
Because you are not a insane mass murderer who's ruined so many lives for decades and might be... immortal, and that time you made Superman kill his wife in a parallel universe or whatever. Like, I don't care about that guy, but I do care about just a troubled man who needs some help. But that's not the Joker, is it? That's not...
Well, that's the thing. And I think this... We'll go spoilers.
Yeah.
And
so anyway, worst movie
ever.
Because
I think...
It's got some redeeming stuff. It's an interesting story to be told. But...
Yeah, I agree. I think it does. I think it's not as compelling as I kind of hoped it would be. But that's interesting that you say that, because I think that, because comic books, the good ones, do a really good job of taking existing characters and then building a story around it, which can be, it can be fun, it can be tragic, it can be whatever.
Yeah.
But you're right. This is kind of like Taxi Driver and we've just snuck in a little bit of the Joker.
Yeah, and it's like, and I feel like, again, if imagine being someone who, you know, is being beaten down by society and there's also... Everyone looks up to these amazing people who can fly and save the world, and you've got that on your plate as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's an extra moving part that I thought
and
would
they
be
could be the 1%.
Yeah.
Still a metaphor.
Yeah. Anyway, we're doing some spoilers. What are we going to spoil?
Absolutely are. Well, what I was going to say is that, okay, so the thing that kicks off the event in Gotham, which was such a big deal, and there's clowns rioting in the streets, is that the Joker, he shoots three Wall Street guys who are attacking him on the subway.
Who know all, one of them knows all the lyrics to Send in the Clowns. Like the whole thing.
It's the 80s.
Oh, yeah, they didn't have much else to
Everybody
do, did
Everybody knew it.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I guess that's true.
They used to sing songs on the pianolas. They used to sit around.
Oh, in the subways, yeah. While you're waiting for your train, there's just a pianola there. And
and they're going for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I also think that would it be in this horrible city where people are dying left and right and three people are murdered...
Would anyone notice?
And I think I guess in answer to that, maybe they would because they were rich Wall Street dudes.
Yeah, right.
And that's why it's a big deal. If it was three homeless people, people would be like, whatever.
Yeah,
so
right.
So I guess in answer to my own question, I guess that's the reason it kind of took off in the media. But I just, the idea that people, everybody just like dressing up as a clown in homage to this clown killer, something about it I just couldn't buy. It didn't
There'd
seem...
be a certain barrier, I think, just in your own mind. If you're like, should I dress up as a clown and get shot by the cops? Probably. I don't think I will, actually. Yeah.
And I think also he feels very much like the proto Joker. Like even by the end, when he's technically, I guess, fully the character, I didn't think he hasn't got dastardly schemes. He's like unhinged and unwell and
not particularly smart.
And they were going to get him eventually. Yeah. I feel like regardless. Mm. And at the end, it didn't prove to me that he'd outsmarted anybody.
No.
He was just unpredictably violent. And I think the Joker is more interesting than just a guy.
Yeah, who kind of inadvertently starts a movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, cool, I'm seen.
Yeah.
People see
me. But I think maybe the question, again, another question that will be asked to Todd Phillips until the day he dies is this the real Joker?
Yeah.
Or is this, has he in fact inspired somebody else in that crowd to become the real Joker? That's kind of interesting.
Or does he come back in 10 years when Bruce Wayne's older and, you know, does he grow to be this version of the Joker?
Yeah.
Because the bit when they were doing the...
Where's he going to go to, though? Supervillain boot camp? There isn't one in this universe.
Maybe there isn't.
There's no Taskmaster.
Yeah, I guess they're right.
Yeah.
But just the bit when I'm like, oh, they're doing the Bruce Wayne's parents murder.
Oh, my
God. Are you kidding me with this shit?
And they had to get the pearls in.
They did the pearls and they did it. I'm like, I just saw this.
Yeah.
Do we need to do this every fucking time?
Well, again, they had to because otherwise it's not a DC movie,
is it? I guess it's not.
That's how they tied it in. They're like, oh, my God, this will be so poignant. No, it isn't.
That's the thing. Like, it's not clever. Or it's not like what a twist. It's just, it feels lazy.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What it felt like. Or it felt like but you didn't see this coming.
We did though.
I did.
We really
did. I didn't want it to happen.
Yeah, as soon as we saw the marquee for Zorro come up, I'm like, oh no. I'm like, fingers crossed. Okay, hopefully it's just implied.
Yeah, you see them walk off.
And you go, okay, well, but then they're like, okay, well, Thomas Wayne's got to get it again because he's a prick in this universe. So
yeah, that's it. Exactly. Was it funny? I think there was like
moments. There's a moment where he's been given the gun and he drops it in the hospital. That's
that was
funny.
Good.
There's a moment where they're all hospital based. There's the moment where he runs into the hospital door because it's exit only.
Oh yeah, that's pretty not funny. Bad either. Yeah.
When he suffocates his mother, that's funny. You know, we all laughed.
All great stuff.
When it turned out he'd imagine his relationship with Zazie Beetz. You know, and he.
That was all. Oh, sorry, my computer just went dung, and when that happens, people. Like look around like it was their computer. That was mine. I'll just mute it because you can't hear it. Doesn't matter.
All right.
It's either here or there. Yeah, and I thought that
that's just a little something for the listeners.
I was.
Sorry, I didn't get to enjoy it, but you know that's the sacrifices about you, we make for the listeners. You know.
I also thought that Zazie Beetz thing was kind of. I was happy that he wasn't an incel character.
Sure, right.
And then when it was revealed that he'd imagine it all, I was kind of like, oh, that's not as interesting. Not that interesting.
Yeah, right.
Kind of, it's kind of, it felt pretty rote to be like, all of this, you know?
But here's the thing, but it also leaves the door open for literally anything in this movie could have imagined anything. Mm. Maybe the entire movie was his imagination, and realistically, he is the super genius dastardly Joker who's been in a mental institution for 20 years. And once he escapes, he's just going to be regular Joker.
Brilliant.
Brilliant, right?
You know what else is brilliant?
What's
after
that?
The clown riots and the two cops get beaten up on the subway and he goes to Robert De Niro's show and the only reason he is there because they made fun of him and then for some reason invited him on as a regular guest.
What kind of...
Even though he's clearly unhinged.
Yeah.
And who filmed that, for one? Let's put that aside. People aren't in comedy clubs like bootlegging comedy.
No, but I think there was a... Look, mechanically, early in the movie we see there's like a closed circuit TV and we're seeing another comic on it.
Yeah, but why?
I don't know.
That's what I'm...
Maybe for tapes you shop them around. You go, here's my tape and I'll send it to the Tonight Show, whatever. But... Is this a common thing were they so stuck for material on late night talk shows in the 80s that they went, let's just make fun of this guy.
Yeah, let's get him on.
It's part of my monologue.
And the crazy thing about it is when he goes on after the clown riots, the cops are beaten up, he's sitting in clown makeup.
And they go, sure.
But Marc Maron is like, maybe we shouldn't and De Niro's like, this will be fine. This isn't a political thing. What do you think's going to happen here?
Yeah, right.
Think 10 fucking seconds into the future. Why is this guy here? this clearly mentally unbalanced man
who's
turned up in clown makeup during a clown riot when a clown murdered people. Even if it's not him, do you think that this is going to go
You couldn't get in Dr. Ruth, famous fill-in guest on late-night talk shows in the 80s. You couldn't get in Tony Randall. Perennial whatever, just to fill in.
And I know it's the 80s, but they didn't check him for a gun.
Yeah.
They didn't float any questions with him beforehand of what they were going to ask him. Mm. That guy could have done anything.
He could have had so many bombs on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Or a whoopee cushion.
That's right.
Imagine Robert De Niro sits down and...
embarrassing.
Wow.
And the fact that...
And then he just keeps poking him.
Yeah.
Metaphorically, not literally.
Yes, exactly. And that speech.
Just bangers. Ugh. Yeah, well, okay, there we go. You know what? We were discussing this on the podcast moments ago.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know what? There was some compelling stuff in there. You know, maybe I shouldn't give it worst movie ever. And then Then he's just like, here's my motivations. I'll just tell you all my motivations.
Because people were mean to me and people step over homeless people. And it's like, you're
right.
Well,
I won't be stepped over anymore.
But it's like, you're right, but we... get that
from the stuff we saw in the
that
movie.
Happens. And it's the same thing with the Thomas Wayne, Martha Wayne being murdered thing. We get it.
Yeah.
And I think you open up the door there for a speech and has to have something interesting to say.
But not just flat
but it's
out.
Not just. I don't know why it's like. And this is what's wrong with society.
It was essentially like he gets up and he's like, "Why are you so mad?" And it's like because I live with my mother and it's very sad, and then people make fun of me at my work and these children stole my sign, and then he's just recounting the plot of the movie that's happened, and then I got a gun, and then I dropped it, and I got fired, and then I met a lovely lady, but it turned out she was imaginary, and so I got really mad and sad, and then I killed my mum, and I shot some cops, and I shot some Wall Street guys. I'm sorry, I'm confused.
And they kind of hint that he's going to shoot himself.
Yeah,
but there was no point when I thought he was actually going to shoot himself.
Because then he's not the Joker.
Then he's not the Joker.
The Joker doesn't live.
I thought at minimum he's going to shoot De Niro and then maybe attempt to shoot himself.
Yeah.
Which he doesn't end up doing, obviously. And then the bit where, like, he gets...
oh, we're up to the part of this, our favourite bit. Remember that bit when?
But he gets arrested and he's in the car and they all recognise him and then he gets out and he's standing up there and he's got the audience clapping.
He's incel Jesus.
But it also feels at the same time like you did that. He made his point already.
Yeah.
Like he knows that he's seen already.
Everyone saw
just
it.
That extra moment of like.
Because apparently they're not taking this. Playing it live.
But I thought the point of that might be that he gets away and then he's got like an underground like following. But he still gets arrested.
Yeah, huh?
So they got him eventually, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
So I just.
But that's where he belongs, Arkham Asylum, where he can scheme.
Yeah. And murder nurses or whatever he's up to in there.
Yeah.
Great stuff. You know what the other thing is? Todd Phillips has talked about how the reason he made this is because he can't make comedy films because it's too woke and comedy's dead or whatever.
Yeah. I have some... Hang on.
Comedy to me, there's... And I'm not just talking about things that are politically correct and safe or whatever. There's excellent comedy at the moment which does... go places that, you know, that people would consider edgy or however you want to frame it.
This is from John Viskloski on Twitter. Todd Phillips explains why he left comedies for Joker. Go try to be funny nowadays in this woke culture. And John says, it's so true. In this time of increased sensitivity and recognition of historically marginalized voices, it's just impossibly funny. I mean, other than Parks and Recreation, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Bob's Burgers, Last Man on Earth, Schitt's Creek, BoJack Horseman, Superstore, Glow, Big Mouth, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Two Dope Queens, Black Lady Sketch Show, American Vandal, Fleabag, Veep, Russian Doll, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Barry, The Good Place, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, The Daily Show, and it just goes on.
Yeah, exactly. There is excellent comedy now, and I think it's because people are like, we don't want Hangover 4 or whatever. Yeah. We didn't like the sequels.
Yeah.
Because that style of comedy.
3 wasn't even a comedy.
No, it was, I don't know what it was. Yeah. But yeah, I think maybe he felt like that his style had gotten passed by and people have moved past that. I think if he said that, I'd be like, yeah, well that's, if he was like, well, I made a certain type of film and I feel like that might not play necessarily now, then I'd be like, well, that's fair enough. And you've moved on from that. Because a lot of comedy directors, they do that. Look at Adam McKay. Now he kind of makes movies about Wall Street
Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg doing Preacher and stuff like that, and The Boys, which have funny elements to them, but they are not comedies.
Yeah.
And they still even, they're like, well, if we want to do some gross out stuff in that, we can.
But I just think to be like, well, and that, you know, you can't say anything anymore. You can, but just say something interesting.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are pointed towards, I think they're like, well, Charlie Day said you can't say anything anymore either. But he didn't say that. He basically said, well, now, because we're making this and times have changed, we have to look into what is acceptable and not acceptable, and we have to adjust based on that.
And there's a reason that It's Always Sunny is still good is because they look at how the world has changed. That's 14 years old,
that show. Yeah, for sure.
And it's you watch the evolution of these characters. Like, they've done blackface and just ridiculous, like, horrible stuff. Mm. But it's always in the context of the era, and it's not making fun of people. It's
making fun of them.
Yeah, and people who also are like that, I guess.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just, the fact that we're like, well, comedy is... No, it's not. Like, that particular type of comedy is not interesting anymore. Uh-huh. I think that's what it is.
Mm.
But also, it's PC gone mad, and it's I will never say that.
That's right.
You know what? Okay, this is what I think this movie does do well. Here we go, Mason.
Here we go. He's got his album.
Got
my listening face on.
Yeah, he really does.
I'm going to do one of these now.
Two hands
under the chin.
I think...
Let's talk about boys.
The idea... I'd love to. But I think this movie is on the right track in terms of making these one-shot, different universe DC stuff. I don't think this is a complete hit for me, obviously.
Yeah.
But I really like the idea of these self-contained universes.
Yeah.
I think that's a good direction for these
films. For sure, yeah.
Because people are obviously going out because they want to see something different from comic book movies.
Yep.
To me, this isn't something that I'm necessarily think is great. But a lot of people obviously do. Do want to see different stuff.
I want to see different stuff, but if I want to see a comic book movie, I just want to see some comic book stuff in it. I don't think that is...
You want to see pages flipping like Ang Lee's Hulk.
Exactly, that's
different
right.
Different panels.
Yes. Yeah. I wanted Joaquin Phoenix's skin to be so rubbery. They shoot a grenade at him and it just and bounces off, you know?
Brilliant.
Just don't trick us.
Yeah, I don't think people need to be.
If you
want to
be like, this is a powerful drama about a man on the edge, I'll watch that. But don't tell me it's the Joker when it's just a man.
Arthur Fleck.
Arthur Fleck.
So good. Mm. Do you like Easter eggs, Mason? I made an Easter egg video. Check it out.
Yeah, I do like Easter eggs. Oh, my goodness.
Link down below if you want to check it out. Anyway, we're still obviously going to talk about this, but if you want to, I've got some reviews here
from
people who are written in. I'd say it's more positive, but it is a mixed bag.
Yes.
I'd say the generally response we've got to people is positive. Perry says, Joker movie is dark, deep, depressing, but a downright masterpiece. Don't take it as an excuse. Read it as a warning. Not perfect, but close to it. Phoenix can act his pants off, his skinny little pants that he wears. Treasure says, hey, guys, just saw Joker, and boy, was it the worst movie ever. The movie was so boring, overhyped, pretentious, and masturbatory. There were some good bits in the third act, but overall disappointing. The music was okay. I liked the score, actually. I thought it was, like, unnerving.
I can't remember it.
Yeah, I liked it. Robert says, out of seeing The Joker, definitely broadens the spectrum of comic book movies, or perhaps the best graphic novel film is a better description. Comparisons to Taxi Driver are given. The most beautifully depressing version of the world that does or doesn't exist. Best movie ever. Danny says, The Joker feels like a paint-by-numbers edge, but it doesn't know where it wants to point that edge. In 5 years' time, it'll be remembered for the memes it creates rather than the movie itself. And Marty G said something interesting. You know, Marty from the Great Mates Group or whatever.
Yep.
Wonderful human being.
Oh, yes.
Says, I think Joker is one of the best depictions of mental illness on film and an incredibly relevant commentary on how the government fails this sector of society, which I don't disagree with as well. Mm. Again, I think that comes down to the performance of it. He does feel like this man, this human being who's, you know, he's just been kind of kicked around his entire life and not acknowledged. And, you know, because even...
He finally feels seen.
Yeah, well, not only that, but like the way that they just... We took away your funding for your social worker that didn't really do anything for you anyway. Like,
yeah,
those
right.
are things that actually... That's not uncommon.
Mm.
And mental health, the way, it is depicted in films. You know, you get autism head slapping and things like that. I think this does a better job of that. But again, I think for me, that's the performance.
Yes.
Anything else, Mason?
That's about it, I think.
Anyway, they made it, didn't they?
Yeah. Also, you never asked me what the story was, so the joke's on you.
That's
right.
I'm twisting the genre on its head. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's also true. God, we're so good at this. Was it even a review? If you didn't ask me what the story was?
What would you have said, though, if I said, because you couldn't say it's the Joker. Hypothetically, Mason.
Yes.
Or pathetically, what would you say?
I'd say it's dirty New York and there's a sad man in it.
Pretty good, Mason.
Pretty good, right?
Pretty goddamn
yes.
good.
Yes.
All right, you know what it's time for?
What's it time for?
What are we reading?
Oh, what we gonna read.
I'm doing the thing. What are we reading today? Well, we made it into the what we reading segment of the podcast.
That's right.
What are you reading?
Oh, good question. You know what I've been reading recently?
I don't.
And it's not a comic book or TV movie or anything related. My friend McKinley has a newsletter, and every week she sends it out. It's called The Whippet. And every week it's just like really interesting things.
Whip it like the dog? Like
the dog. Like Whippet.
Whippet.
And it's, so it's like, it's just interesting. It's meant to be like a like an anti-hot take. You know, because everything on the internet's hot takes.
Love hot takes.
It's, do you? But aren't you tired of hot takes sometimes?
I love hot takes.
Oh yeah.
Didn't you not hear me?
But anyway, it's just a newsletter about like interesting things that she's been thinking about and looking at in a week. So the current episode, current issue is about minimalism, but also this statue of Neptune that appeared on the that's in the Canary Islands.
Where did that come from?
It's somebody built it. Is a thing about chess grandmasters. It's just bloody interesting stuff. And
what's that called?
It's called The Whippet. Mm. So hang on, I'll see. I think it's at thewhippet.org. Let me just check.
You don't have to check.
No, I'm going to.
You don't have to.
I'm going to, but you'll link it below probably.
I can think about it.
Yeah, thewhippet.org.
All
right, I reckon people should sign up to that.
All right.
It's real
weekly,
real
you say?
Weekly and very interesting.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's okay, here's how she sold it. A fortnightly newsletter of interesting articles and ideas with guaranteed 0% contemporary politics because, oh my God, sometimes you need a break.
Ain't that the truth?
Jeez.
It's even filtered into our cinemas, Mason.
Yeah, scientific discoveries, news articles about heists, bizarre animals, forgotten history, what everyday life is like for, say, a Trappist monk or a female bodyguard. Cool stuff.
Excellent.
Anyway. Yes.
We're still in the Joker talk, so I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
Do you think we'll get a sequel to this when spoilers again, whatever, and there's going to be Batman? And do you want to see this Batman? Because I don't know if I do.
I don't think I do either,
the
yeah.
realest Batman in the world.
And they're going to have to wage Joaquin Phoenix up 20 years? Wait, 10
yeah,
years,
whatever.
15 years.
They're just X-Men days.
I guess they were
all
yeah.
the same age or whatever.
Not really, no.
Yeah, I guess also because I guess the Dark Knight is that version of Batman already. Also, yeah. I think not only do I love the Heath Ledger performance, but I also felt like that Joker knew what he was doing and had an idea.
Yeah, he's
he had a
insane.
Through line.
And again, that's not as realistic a universe, but it is closer to our universe than the Batman v Superman reality.
Sure, yeah.
And I could see a man such as that existing in our world. And again, that's a great example of Christopher Nolan's taken the continuity of the comic book universe, and some of it, he's incorporated at least yeah. some of it.
Yes.
Characters who act like the characters in the comic books.
Batmobiles.
And a villain who resembles the real one.
And his parents got shot.
Oh my God.
Those pearls went a-flying, didn't
yes.
they?
Yes.
You know what I'm reading? I'm reading, I've talked about this before, but I don't mind coming back to it. Tom Taylor, Trevor Hessein, and James Harren have all put together Deceased.
Which is the DC Marvel Zombies, basically.
Yes,
yeah,
right. Where the whole world is, there's a zombie virus, which is a result of a miscalculation in Darkseid's
anti-life
equation,
right.
Which Cyborg brings to Earth, and it basically zombifies.
He's like, whoopsie.
Yeah. But the interesting thing is, so there's one issue to go, and I think there's one spin-off thing, which is also quite good as well. Uh-huh. But because it all feels like one thing, where what happens when... And Marvel did this as well with Marvel Zombies, but I think it's interesting here as well because what happens if a speedster gets a zombie virus? How
yeah.
many people can they infect all at once?
Yeah,
and how
for
do
sure.
you stop the fastest being on the planet,
yeah.
even if you're Superman?
That's true,
you
yeah.
know? And in this particular episode, it turns some characters that you're like, oh no, that's like the worst possible situation.
Yeah, right.
Because is there anybody here to stop these particular people?
And because it's a parallel universe and it's a self-contained thing,
yeah.
the worst case scenario can absolutely play itself out.
Exactly. So
yes.
have you read Deceased yet?
No.
I would thoroughly recommend it.
I see.
And there's only one left. So bloody get your motor running, head out on the highway.
Oh, yeah.
Looking for some good artwork and some stories that are good and come your way.
Yes.
Then read.
But also meth at a truck stop.
Okay, some of those things are in Deceased. You're gonna
fantastic,
have to
nice.
You're going to have to get the meth by yourself.
All right.
Anything else, or do you want to do the next segment?
Let's do the next. Oh, wait, no. Let's continue to talk and fill for a little couple more seconds,
I'm ready to go
what
to the
you
next.
About
I'm
that?
Ready
I
to go.
Bloody,
I don't need
maybe.
To wait. I'm happy
but I
to
would like
roll
to, I just
into
want to make sure
episode.
We haven't forgotten a single darn thing.
I don't
thing.
Think we have.
Actually,
no,
all
of my
let's
list.
Do letters.
Oh.
The classic one was letters, oh, letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day.
Hey, 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 hey,
Don't crash your car.
Yeah, don't do that.
Especially if you're going to write us a letter, because you can reach the show at hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter, or shoot us over an email at weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
Okay, quick Asian dating update. We have 8 new matches, starting with Norman, 45.
That's more than one a day.
The Philippines. I'm not moving to the Philippines. That's Avi from Poland.
Yep.
He'd murder you.
Yeah, he would. Me specifically?
Yeah, all these.
If I murder him first.
This guy.
I murder that guy too.
James, Bloomington, Indiana. What about Ben? He's got a tuxedo on.
Nah, he's
pretty nice.
He's a racist.
Okay. Wow. What's he doing on AsianDating.com then?
He's got like a self-hate thing. It's,
okay.
Wow.
That's, okay. All right.
It's the way he was raised. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any tweets there? I was too busy looking at that.
Okay, this is from Super Sauron. I just started playing the Arkham games, and so far I've found them amazing. This made me wonder about what superhero could make an amazing video game. I think Doctor Strange would make a really good video game. Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Yeah, because it's interesting because it depends on how you... Some are more difficult than others.
Yeah.
If you've got a street level brawly guy, you make a brawly game. If you've got a Punisher, you do a shooter or whatever. But then if you've got like a Superman.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah. We've talked about this a number of times. The rumor was going to be is it Rocksteady that make the Arkham games? They were going to make a Superman game in a similar vein. But because Superman is unkillable, it's not about stopping, it's not about villains beating you up. It's kind of flying around the world.
And apparently they're not making this also.
Yeah, no, they're not. But, flying around saving cities. There is a game that is this. It's a PSVR game. It's called Gigaton Rainfall.
Oh, I played that.
Yeah?
And
what do you think?
It's good.
Yeah.
But there's an even more recent one on Steam that's called Undefeated.
Right.
And it's basically a guy who's kind of dressed like Connor Kent. Superboy. Yep. Oh, the black t-shirt Superboy.
That's
is that
Superboy.
Connor Kent?
Yeah, that's Connor Kent, yeah.
And it's that thing. He's unkillable. He's in a city where it looks incredible. You got to look
at Undefeated.
This game. Undefeated.
Is it not? So could I get it on a PS4?
I don't believe so. It's just a demo.
I'll look at a gameplay demo then.
Please do. And I wrote this one down specifically because it isn't, even though it's just a demo, three guys worked on it, but it's one of those things that they seem to have nailed the core of what you would do with a Superman character. I don't know whether you could stretch that out over 20 hours and make it compelling, but the flight is really.
Yeah.
Really good, and it just like the combat works, and
you
can't really be hurt because you just got to get to emergencies as quickly as you can and minimize the casualties and damage. And
so,
and
I think
whatever.
It can something like that can be done.
Yes,
the thing about Gigaton Rainfall that I found like the gameplay works, but I think it doesn't have it doesn't really have any personality.
No, it doesn't.
He's just like he's like
a generic.
He's sort of been sent by some sort of godlike figure to Earth to save it, but it's just. And again, you can fly around. You can blow up the planet if you want to.
Yes.
But it's just you're kind of just fighting these generic spaceships. There's an assortment of different ones, but it's kind of just like you're not fighting supervillains or any.
No.
You don't have a personality. It's kind of like
you kind of wake from a pod or something at the start.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, in space, and then you fly down to Earth, and then it's interesting.
It's pretty bare bones, but
it's pretty bare bones. But I think if you took it proves that mechanism can be done.
Yes.
So if you were to take a Superman game, you could do that.
I don't know if you'd want to do it first person, though.
No, I'd much rather Arkham style.
I want to see that sweet Kate.
Yeah.
That
sweet rig.
Oh, you know what he's dick. there was also a cancelled Daredevil game that I always wanted to play. It was going to coincide with the movie. It was more comic related. There's like videos on how they're going to make it. A guy actually reached out to me once and said, like, my uncle or dad worked on it. Do you want like the beta copy?
That doesn't
of it?
Sound true.
I know. And I'm like, yes. But that never eventuated.
Wow.
But anyway.
Because my uncle works for Nintendo, so he can get you any Nintendo.
Exactly.
He can get you Rob. He can get you the light gun. Anything you want. Yeah.
He can get me the unreleased Super Mario Brothers.
Yep.
Lost Worlds.
Yeah, for sure.
Even though you can. Get
why
that regardless.
Now, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah, sure. Yeah, you can.
And at the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and that was interesting because it was kind of Spider-Man-esque. You'd slide down rails. They had trouble with, like, they were going to make it open world, and then they had to kind of bring it, like, time constraints, meaning they brought it down to, like, smaller in scale, and you could use your echo vision to see through walls and whatever. I think a Daredevil game could work really well, but I like the idea of, like you said, of tackling bigger, more interesting powers. And even as Super Sauron says here, someone like Doctor Strange, where it's these powers that are just, and not like an Ultimate Alliance bullshit, you're just shooting lasers.
Yeah, right.
I'm talking like you've got the whole arsenal of Doctor Strange powers,
or
and
start,
you can fly.
Yeah, from the start,
throw people in mirror dimensions and whatever.
I think, I feel like that a Doctor Strange would work better Because, you know, talking Arkham games, you know, Arkham Asylum is quite on rails, but Arkham City is like, and this most recent Spider-Man game are quite sandboxy. You can go anywhere. Yeah. I think a Doctor Strange would work better in the first category.
Yes.
Because you could go, okay, well, now it's time to go into the mirror dimension.
Well, that's what I want. And I remember because when we talked about Arkham Origins a few, like 4 or 5 years ago now.
Yeah. Not the best one.
Not the best
but
one.
Still okay.
Boss battles were pretty good, but it was kind of unpolished. And you brought up a good point about how you like the first one of that the most because it's so focused.
Yeah.
And the more I think about it, the more I think you might be right. I think technically Arkham City is the best game in terms of scale and story and mechanics and everything. But there is something about that one place, one objective.
It feels more like an adventure the character would actually have.
Yes.
There's no like, well, I could stop the Joker from poisoning the city, but I've got to collect all these rings.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
I'm going to get a bonus and a new hat.
So I know that the studio who made Origins are currently, well, they've been teasing another Arkham game.
Mm.
And like, that's kind of a sequel to their prequel. Yes. And I kind of, it probably won't be, but I'd kind of love it to be, strip out the Batmobile and all these other mechanics and just take it back to that really tight story with some excellent kind of boss battles you can
kind
of interject it in there instead of being like it's the city again, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's the same with Spider-Man games, and the only one of the reasons though why I love the new Spider-Man game is because they rebuilt New York and it's all new and they redid the mechanics, but a lot of those Spider-Man games are just like, it's New York again, you're in a city again, you're collecting the same thing again, you're fighting, you know, you come across a random crime. But with Spider-Man, what else do you do with that character? Because that's where he is. He's like built for it. He's built for open world.
You can't put him in the suburbs. It's not weird, really, as Homecoming proved.
So, yeah, you couldn't really strip it down and do like an Arkham Asylum Spider-Man game.
Yeah.
I don't think. Or no. Would be a character.
Because you'd have to do it Superman 64 style, which is like a supervillain's trapped him in a special dimension, but just happens to have a lot of things to swing from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think also you're not making the best use of the Spider-Man character if you put him in a bunch of corridors.
No,
you know?
Absolutely not.
So anyway.
Except if he wants to walk on the roof.
Oh my goodness.
This is an email from Hugo Norman. Speaking about Spider-Man, I've just started playing Spider-Man PS4, really enjoying it, want to read some of the Spider-Man comics. What would you guys recommend as some of the best Spider-Man comics?
That recent Spider-Man life story I read is excellent. And also, you don't have to. It means you don't have to read all the crap.
That's the main problem with Spider-Man.
Yeah, it gives you a good overview of all that. So.
I think you could really jump in anywhere.
Because
I would recommend Superior Spider-Man, but that is also, that's a version where Peter Parker is not Spider-Man for the most part.
No, but I think that's okay because I think also if you're going, if he's writing into this podcast, he probably has an idea who Spider-Man is.
And he's played Spider-Man PS4, so he definitely does.
Exactly. So I don't think he needs an origin story of Spider-Man. He knows enough about it where he could read a story that's not just traditional Peter Parker stuff.
Yes.
You know, I'm just Googling best Spider-Man stories and seeing what else. What do you think about Kraven the Hunt? That's not bad.
Kraven's Last Hunt. Yeah, that's a good one.
What else we got here? What else do you think?
Maybe go back. You know what I would do is probably go back and read.
Watch the movie Venom. It was record-breaking. Now it's been beaten by Joker. Yeah. But
I wonder how the Todd McFarlane Spider-Man.
I think visually it's probably still very
good. I wonder plot-wise and dialogue-wise if it still holds up. But in the 90s, Todd McFarlane, later creator of Spawn, got his new... He was the artist on Spider-Man, in Amazing Spider-Man in the 80s.
Yes.
And then they gave him his own Spider-Man book just called Spider-Man. And that ran, it's not still going, I think. He's not still drawing it.
He's making Spawn.
Oh, my God. That's now the longest-running independently produced comic book. Drawn by the same guy, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I reckon maybe try the Todd McFarlane Spider-Mans. Just the first... Mm. No, they were meant to be like, okay, well, you know, this is more epic and it's, you know, it's just huge stories and great villains.
Yeah, right.
First
villain
was The Lizard, if I recall.
Okay. I've got another one here because I just went through... I've got my Comixology open. There's Spider-Man Blue by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale, who did...
Long Halloween.
Long Halloween, which I love. And it's like an origin story of Peter Parker. No, it's not an origin story. It's more like just as he's dating Gwen Stacy.
Yes.
I haven't read it in a long time, but I remember really enjoying that. I think if you want like a classic Spider-Man, that might be the one to go.
Yes.
If you want something new, I think it might be worth looking at that J.J. Abrams.
And his son.
And his Henry Abrams book. just because it's the first one, you don't really need to know anything else. It's not connected to anything. I'm not guaranteeing that it's going to, you know, that it's going to go on to be amazing. But I think if you want a recent one that you don't really need to know anything, it might be a good point to jump in on.
Or the most recent Miles Morales Spider-Man.
Oh, right, okay.
Because Miles Morales is in the comic, is in the video game.
Yeah, or maybe even the first run of Ultimate Spider-Man as well, because that's a pretty good run as well.
It's continuity free and it's fresh and modern.
And then Miles Morales turns up and whatever and so forth.
Yeah.
Also, just watch Spider-Verse. It's the best thing in the world.
Yeah, that's a good one.
This is from Sir Dr. Vlad the Inhaler, a.k.a. Hulk. There's a lot of things going on there.
Yes.
Says, can you do an episode on various oft-brands Supermen like Hyperion, Plutonian, Homelander, etc.? Could be good. Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod.
And then we can make him fight at the end.
Yeah, right. Kiss.
Yeah, nice. Who's got the most super kiss?
Mm.
It's Superman, though, isn't it? Because he can kiss you and make you forget.
That's a good point.
You know?
They could all be friends at the end.
Yeah, that's right.
They come to, he's like, you don't remember, but we all are great friends and we kiss all the time. Yeah, I think that would be an interesting. I think that, are you up for that at some point?
Yes.
That feels like right up your alley because you know a lot of, like, characters that are from a weird dimension that are just a Superman
metaphor. Boy, do I ever. Yes.
Anything else?
Maybe
if they ever make another Superman movie, we can do
that. Yeah, this is from Mike. Unfilmable movies to streaming series ideas. Hey, James and May. So for most of our lives, we had to accept certain comics or books were unable to be made into movies due to the amount of content.
I never accepted
it. 2 hours. With streaming services dumping enormous amounts of money making series, these restraints have fast disappeared. I would give a kidney to see a series of Saga. Is there any other long-form graphic novels, books, or any other previously thought to be unfilmable properties that you guys would love to see adapted properly in a streaming service? I would like to see James Robinson's Starman, which I've mentioned before, which is my favourite
self-contained. About it.
But that won't happen for a number of reasons.
It's a rights thing, is it?
It's a rights thing. James Robinson has the rights to that version of Starman, and they can't use it without his permission, which is why in that upcoming Stargirl series, Starman's not in that. Even though he's supposed to be in the comic books, he would be the Joel McHale's character.
Yeah, right.
In
okay.
In the version that's coming to TV, it's a different character. But I would like to see that because it's super epic, and you meet some of Superman's relatives back in the past, and it's got magic, and it's got sci-fi, and it's got human relations.
I love human relations,
and it's got a gritty city.
A gritty city,
which is. Well, it's not. It's a nice city. It's a very strange city. It's Opal City.
That sounds nice.
And that's what you want. You want a city for authenticity.
And so do you think that is adaptable now, though?
It is. I think it would be adaptable. But again, rights issue, it won't be.
Okay,
And they're using some of the characters for...
Yeah, well, other things.
For other things.
But that'll fall down.
Given unlimited amounts of money, yes, that's what I would like to see.
It's interesting because there is a bunch of stuff considered unfilmable that has been filmed or is like...
Watchmen?
Dune? Or is it June?
It's
Dune.
Dune.
Transmetropolitan comes up here in my Google. I think Transmetropolitan is probably 5 to 10 years off being able to do it properly.
Yeah, right.
Because that city is insane.
For sure, yeah.
So I think you could
They said that about Judge Dredd too, didn't they?
Yeah.
Stallone Judge Dredd.
Yeah, but they fucked that up.
Yeah, they made it's a bad good. One, didn't
it's
they?
Bad. It's a bad movie.
Yeah, it's a bad movie.
So I think Transmetropolitan would be interesting as a series, but...
And Saga was designed to be unfilmable, as I understand it.
Oh, okay.
Like, if they were like...
I feel like Saga's pretty cinematic. And these days. With the budget, you could definitely pull that off.
Saga was, I think, again... As I understand it, it was like the idea was, well, there's no way we could make a film out of this, so it exists solely as a comic book property. But I think that was maybe a few years before Netflix and Amazon Prime had all the money.
Okay. So, I see what you're saying.
So maybe it is filmable now.
Yeah. I think that's very much going away. I'm not saying you could you have to give it to the right people for it to be successful, but I also think... I don't like watered down versions of very complicated, even visually complicated things because just don't do it. It's like that Powers TV show or whatever that
one of the worst.
Yeah, like don't make it. Make a different thing.
Mm.
And I haven't seen Preacher, but from what I did see, it was kind of like, what? Just get to the main thing of Preacher.
I haven't finished it yet, and it starts out really strong. And then I think it takes a dip and it kind of slows down a lot. But I should finish it. It's got, you know,
I've heard a lot of people aren't super happy with the ending, but I like a lot of the people involved in that. So maybe I'll. Actually, you know what is being made and would be very difficult in live action? Invincible. They're doing an animated version, which is probably smart because that is impossible on a TV budget. But then again, looking at Homelander and whatever and so forth.
That's true.
But then again, that
But he exists in a regular world for the most part.
Well, that's true. And that is also, it's not as action heavy as you'd
think it is, yeah.
Or as it sets itself up.
There's a lot of people in boardrooms.
Yeah, exactly.
And for the most part, like, it's people having a conversations in a boardroom and then somebody gets their heart punched out or whatever. That's not as difficult as...
Invincible is like
flying to alien
in
worlds.
The street and tearing people in half and blood and guts and...
Yeah. Yeah. And whole intergalactic societies and what have you.
So it's probably better animated.
Yeah.
Is that the show, though?
I think that is the show.
I love shows.
This is from just from Kay Marshall.
Mm.
Edgy film opportunity missed. I just see this last one. The edgy episode was great. Thank you. But I can't believe you missed out on the dumbest and or greatest film ever, Equilibrium. Do you remember that one? Christian Bale and they're doing gun kung fu. Do you remember that?
Gun Carter.
Yeah.
I like that movie.
Yeah.
But... emotions.
He said, especially with the explanation of how their battle system is better, the gun carter, even though it boils down to standing in the middle of the room and hoping everyone around you has an IQ below 20. That really is how it works movie. Well, look, I think we'll do an edgy movie episode again sometime, but there's so many.
A lot of people said some of the Mark Miller movies and that.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I think the only one of that I can think of that really fits that is Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah.
Because I think Kick-Ass 1 isn't like, look at this, it's as much as Kick-Ass 2 is.
And I also think it's also kind of a generational thing. I think the ones we went for were the ones that were edgy when we were teenagers or like even pre-teenagers.
We can adapt.
We can adapt and learn. So by the time like a Kick-Ass comes out, like any kind of Mark Miller property, we're like, we see the wheels turning in this. We get it. But back in the day, we were like, oh, my God.
What if your superheroes were real? Oh, my God. Anyway, bring us home, Mason.
Absolutely, I'm going to.
He doesn't want to, everybody.
No, I'm going to. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks, everybody, for donating to the charity campaign. Where you're crushing it out there. We really appreciate it. And the world appreciates it also.
Yeah.
Thanks everybody for subscribing and telling a friend, giving us a nice review. James, do you have a nice review there?
No idea. This is from Ajay Arden, 5 stars. You can do this just in app.
Jacinta Arden?
Yes.
PM of New Zealand.
She should be getting back to being a mother than not listening to podcasts.
But she's got a lot. She's raising kids or whatever.
She's bloody wonderful. I wish our Prime Minister was
not our current Prime Minister.
Yes, that's right.
Or any of the other candidates for Prime Minister.
Correct.
They're all bad. Anyway.
Yeah. Says weekly must. Jacinta Arden says, as I navigate the many podcasts I try to jam into my free time. I can't imagine she'd have much free time.
That's right.
You know, with all the world leadering she's doing. Mm-hmm. My Monday morning Weekly Planet is always first up. It's fun, I get some news, and the guys never take themselves too seriously. Nobody has ever quite made me want to grab that gem like they do. Thank you, Jacinta.
Grab that gem.
Sheep. Got him.
Got him. Got the country of New Zealand.
Because we have the joke in Australia that New Zealanders have sex with sheep.
They have it for
us,
right?
I met some New Zealanders who were like, that's you. And I'm like, that's you.
Yeah.
And we just shouted, that's you, for an hour at each other.
But then the New Zealander was like, that's a you, E-W-E. And then they boned it. Got him again.
Typical.
Got him. Typical New Zealander. good stuff. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. If you'd like to chuck in a buck, we would appreciate that. You can also click on the Amazon link in the episode description. If you'd like to purchase, I'm going to say some Joker DVDs on some maybe Batman animated series Joker.
That's a good one. I'll put that down.
You can also go to planetbroadcasting.com, sign up to our fantastic newsletter from the fantastic Rob Collings.
One of the best.
He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter.
Mm.
Interestingly, I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter. And on Instagram, I'm Nick Maso, NickMas.
I thought you were going to say something different then. Like you changed one of those things. Because you went interestingly and then you paused and pointed at me. And I thought you were ready for like a revelation.
Maybe next week, but probably not. Same thing. Yeah. Why mess with success? You're Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere.
Correct. I mess with success.
Let's see. We got t-shirts on tpublic.com. Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes.
Some of the best.
It's a show, I reckon.
I reckon it is.
Yes.
Next week, we will be looking at the Breaking Bad movie. I would have liked to have done the series.
There's no time.
Unfortunately. Yeah. I really wanted to give it a rewatch, but I don't think I can watch 50 hours of Breaking Bad this week.
What's your opinion on the Fly episode?
I like it a lot.
Yeah, me too. A lot of people hate it.
Well, a lot of people hate Rian Johnson who directed that. That's probably.
Oh, I see.
No, people hated that at the time. But I also, with the thing with that episode is, it's one episode among 50. Yep. So it's not like that's always the show. It's like, if you don't like that one, you've got the rest of the show.
Yeah. Right?
You know? Yeah. The thing about that one is, and this sounds like one of that poor marketing thing, well, I remember it, don't I? So it must be good.
Yeah.
But I that one stands out to me. And also there's a lot of tension in it because there are elements which are unfolding and you think it's going to go certain ways and it kind of zigs and zags. And it's about a fly and I love flies.
What do you think of the episode where he throws the pizza on the roof?
That's the best episode.
It's the best episode,
the guy who lives in that house, he's just people come to his house and throw pizzas on the roof and every day he has to go over the
roof. Oh, in real life, right. Oh, that's, that's good.
Terrible.
Oh, my God. Why waste the pizza? Just eat the pizza.
Yeah, but you'd do it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's something I would
You'd buy two pizzas, I think, because you support a local business.
That's true.
You buy two pizzas, probably get a good deal for the pizzas. And then you get to throw a pizza on a man's roof that didn't deserve it.
Do you think the local pizza place, they sell pizzas?
They're like, can we use your house as a filming location? It'll be great. And he's like, okay.
I think if you ordered a pizza, I think the pizza shop in the local area would do, is this for throwing? Because we won't cut it. Like it'll freeze.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
I heard that was one take. I want to believe it is. Yeah. I don't know whether that's true. If not, I want to see the outtakes of him furiously flinging pizzas and missing. Anyway, anything else?
That's the whole show, I think.
Great. Thank you, everybody, for supporting us and the charity campaign and just in general. And sorry we didn't love the Joker, all right? We apologize.
But also, you're welcome for not loving the Joker for people who didn't love the Joker.
That's so true.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
And goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.